Just a couple of injury reports, and maybe I can shed a bit of light on what you might have seen, or more specifically not seen out there at the start of training. So it looks to us as if Gary Rowan will be available, but obviously pending training over the next couple of days. Mitch Duncan was the other one that didn't play last week. He'll be unavailable again, but optimistic if we're good enough that there's some possibility there for the following week. We've got a few guys on individualised programs this morning that you wouldn't have seen out there that we are confident to find. So that's Dangerfield, Tom Atkins, Brandon Parfitt. Is there anyone else that you have questions about that you didn't see out there? Or anything else on the injury front, then we can move on.
Just on Danger completely, will he go out there? Obviously, he's a big one. So
you keep asking these questions, and the implication seems to be that he's going to do a session away from the club, and you want me to tell you where it is so you can watch it. No, he's just on an individualised program. So with those guys, what we tend to do is stagger their warm-up a little bit. So if he's not going to start with the rest of the group, there's no point in warming up with the group and then standing around doing nothing. I cut you off though, is it? Was that the question you wanted answered? Yeah, so when I say individualised, that's what I mean. It's not the three of them on the same program. They're all staggered.
It must be pretty pleasing with Gary Rowan, given that I think it was a 50-50 sort of prospect. A few days ago, it was only a 50-50 prospect, or later. Like,
who gave those Gary odds? I don't think he would know. That's why the odds are silly. Look, I don't think he's a lock to play, but we've got optimism, so that, I mean, my optimism might reflect sort of 55-45 on, I don't know, but it's progressing pretty well. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
Does that soften the blow just a little bit with Hawkins out there, Gary Rowan becoming as a tall forward?
I'm not sure that's a like-for-like replacement. And we're not saying Gary is available, we're just optimistic. So if, soften the blow. No, I wouldn't put it in those terms. We haven't got a Tom Hawkins replacement, so we'll be different. But different is not necessarily worse.
Obviously, you're not going to telegraph what you're going to do exactly, but you've kind of got close to knowing what the possibilities are for replacing
Tom. Yeah, I think we virtually came to that position on Saturday. So we've known for a while. The players will know. It's not a great mystery. You're right, I'm not going to tell you, but we'll be clear. I think that's more important to us at this stage of the year than maybe even coming up with a better plan, but allowing the uncertainty to fester throughout the week. So we've made our decision pretty much. Contingencies here and there, but I think we'll just back that in.
Would you be prepared to play someone at full forward and in attack that hasn't played there for a large chunk of the season?
It's a very clever question. We're just going to work through the process of elimination until you get to who's actually playing there. Yeah, we've considered everything. Yeah.
I think I heard you say last night something about the situation. You can use it to galvanise the group. This is the Tom Hawkins situation. How do you go about that? Or do you put it on the players? Do you speak to them about it? Or is it just a sort of organic process?
I think it's a little more organic. And my point in terms of the galvanisation is the care and respect that the players have for Tom. So even the player that replaces him, I can guarantee, will be desperate to win so Tom gets the chance next week. So, and it was really in the context of a question, would the players be filthy on Tom? Well, as I said on TV last night on 360, if we didn't have Tom, the rest of the players wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. So he doesn't know us anything. It's disappointing for him, but we're just not in the habit of kicking people while he's down. And Tom's flat at the moment. Don't see the need to make it any worse. Tony Tardio, who would that be? Tony, Chris Scott here. I'm in the middle of the press conference. Who are you calling? Oh, sorry. I'm only joking. Shall I have to give you a call back? Is that okay? All right. Thanks, Tony. See you, mate. Yeah. Sorry.
Everybody likes that.
you could really set me up, couldn't you? Donald Trump or hard putting them in order. I think one of the key parts for us is not focusing too much on all their strengths and trying to come up with plans that are outside of the way we play to mitigate them. Their method is very simple. I would suggest that it wouldn't matter who they were playing, where it was being played or what the conditions were. I think they play the same way. And their strengths and weaknesses in that approach. But look, I suspect they've been, especially in the second half of the year, a team that's sort of overwhelmed some teams around the midfield and looked dangerous when they've got it forward. I'm not sure their numbers around the contest that reflect the dominance that some people think they have. So for us, I think there's a strong argument to say they're going to be two pretty good midfields going at each other. I suspect there won't be too many individual matchups. It'll more be group versus group. And I think I'm prepared to say we're happy to take them on in that area.
How much can you take from the round 12 win against Richmond? I know that they had a lot of their stars out, but I suppose just the game plan, that sort of thing, what worked, what didn't. Do you review that much?
Yeah, we do. Every club in the competition looks at the last time you played an opposition. The way I describe that game is that they probably played their way early and were on top in the first quarter, and then we well and truly outplayed them after that. So they weren't as dangerous in their forward half with Revolt out, didn't have Asprey, didn't have Short, didn't have Lambert. Nankervis. So, been playing two ruckmen of recent times. So, Nankervis coming. That changes, improves them a little bit, I suspect. And they made a few minor tweaks to the way they've been playing since then. But I think, to look on the positive side, I don't think it means that much. But certainly our players aren't looking back and thinking, we can't beat them. I think we do have a method that troubles them. I'm not a big fan of looking too far back, but I don't think we're anywhere near as good a team as we are now last year. And I think they were a better team last year than they are now. We played them twice and got roughly within a kick those times as well. So, for what it's worth, I think our players would think, well, if we get the game on our terms, there is a way to beat them.
You spoke of Thomas specifically. I don't know, it's kind of... You did mention last night that he obviously has a bit of a... He's been reported a few times.
Yeah.
Do you speak to him, or is it just not worth pursuing at this point and worry about it next year?
Well, I think there's a time and a place. So if he gets the chance to play again this year, that's the appropriate time for that conversation. But again, he's been a star for us over a long period of time, experienced player, great leader of the club, great person who's bitterly disappointed. I've got no interest in throwing salt into the wounds at the moment. But it doesn't mean that you ignore the fact that he shouldn't have done it. That's clear to everyone, and most clear to him. The tribunal hearing for us was a bit of a Hail Mary anyway. Even challenging it is not a matter of us saying, oh, there was nothing in it. He's probably paid a very, very heavy but appropriate price. So looking into the future, we've got to do what we can to make sure it doesn't happen again. But we never hang our players out to dry. And we won't.
How do you prepare your younger players for such an occasion as Friday night? I've had the experience of playing against Collingwood in front of a really big sort of hostile crowd.
Mm.
But I mean, this is sort of all on the line. You've got a grand final to play for this week. There's no double chance, which I know was the case last week as well. But how do you prepare in particular the younger players in your group for Friday?
Well, I think some of the issues we should face head on, and just small things like Richmond will have the majority of the support in the crowd, so be ready for that, but got something to draw on because that was a case against Collingwood as well, so just be ready in what your response is going to be and confident that those guys will be okay, but you shouldn't pretend it's not going to happen. the main part for us is just be really clear on the way we want to play. And the fact that there will be mistakes, that's probably the way finals are played historically. It's the team that makes the least errors under that extreme pressure, as opposed to the one that executes perfectly all the time. We do have some young players. It's an interesting observation. It doesn't seem to be the observation that I hear much, because we have, 35-year-old Ablett and 30-year-old Selwood and Taylor, but the majority of our team, is still feeling their way within the competition. Had a bit of experience in finals, three prelim finals in the last 4 years, so that helps a little bit. It's hard to forecast how you're going to feel in that moment if you haven't been there before. But again, we'll have a few guys that haven't been there before. Atkins and Myers, Radigalia, big stakes. Good chance to build your reputation, if that matters to you.
Sorry, yeah, they've handled it pretty well so far in two pretty big finals, those guys you mentioned, Atkins and Radigalia in particular, last week. I know you probably wouldn't be surprised by it, but did you expect that they would handle it just as well as they have so far?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. But it's a challenge, and it's not a guarantee that you're going to handle it perfectly the next chance you get. But I hold those guys in such high esteem, but until you actually see it, it's hard to guarantee it. But no, if I had to bet my life on whether they would be overawed or not, I would have said not, just because of the experience we've had with them and the way they've approached their footy and their preparation up to this point.
That first quarter against the Eagles was pretty incredible, and everything sort of went to plan. How do you replicate that this week?
No, everything didn't go to plan. No, there's times within every single game where things don't go perfectly. Again, it's a matter of sort of mitigating the things that don't go quite right and maximising your chances when you get them. And that was a Collingwood game for us a little bit. I mean, our expected score in that game was a 4-goal win. So if you talk about taking your chances, if we take our chances, the game's very different. And the Eagles was a little bit different in that respect. So how are we going to... The answer to that question is we're not going to try to replicate what we did against the Eagles. We're going to look at this as a completely different situation. But starting well is important. Not the be-all and end-all, as it turns out. Collingwood started pretty well in the grand final last year, and that didn't matter so much. West Coast started pretty well in their last game at the MCG against Richmond. They got beaten by a point. And anyway, it's such a silly thing to say in my view that, you've got to start well. Yeah, everyone knows that. Yeah. How are you going to start well? Well, that's an internal discussion that we're having and working through, and we'll let you know how it goes afterwards, but you'll probably have your own opinion by then anyway.
Does it carry a little bit extra weight in trying to sort of size that Richmond crowd as well?
Yeah, again, it's one of those things, I think if you look at that outcome, if we could do that, that'd be a great result, but... we're certainly not spending our time saying, come on, boys, like our focus is silencing the crowd. It's do a few things that will have the effect of silencing the crowd. But, Richmond's crowd won't get them over the line. If they beat us, it'll be because they were too good.
You feel you're much better around the contest at the start last week, isn't
that? Yeah. Again, like going back to the Collingwood game, they had the first 10 entries, in a high-pressure game. That... really put us on the back foot, so that's not ideal. And we thought there were some crimes against our game style early in that game, and we improved them a lot against West Coast. So we're clearer than we've ever been around what that looks like.
How do you assess Mark Witzel's game on the wing last week?
I thought he's outstanding. I think he's a real handful there. We know Mark really well, and he's a big input into where he plays and how he plays. I thought he was outstanding. We know him much better than everyone else, so our opinion counts for everything. Is there a follow-up question there? You're still staring at me.
No, I'm just...
Jack Henry and how he's stood up in the last 2 weeks without having someone like Mark down there when you take your sort of key leader out of your defensive setup and, you know, those, again, another one of those younger players, but Jack in particular has been
Yeah, I've been really happy with Jack, but our defensive group's been pretty good all year. So again, it's easy to narrow the focus to just the finals, but we don't feel with that group that we need to pull a rabbit out of a hat. They've been the outstanding defensive group in the competition, in my view, with or without blitz halves. So Henry, Colajasny, O'Connor, Tui, Buse were outstanding last week. Jack's been really good for 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, it's good for him to get some acknowledgement and recognition for the work he's done.
Chris, what do you like about Tom Atkins?
What do I like about him?
What do you think of Tom Atkins was in the 6 years?
Well, if he didn't play, if for some reason he wasn't available, he'd be leave a big hole in our team. So even going back to where we were at the end of last year, we felt we needed to make some changes with, one, the way we play, but we need some players who could actually execute that style a little bit better. So Myers, Rowan, Dalhouse, Atkins coming in have done that remarkably well for us. But I would suggest that, at least in my mind, I wasn't thinking that Atkins was that player in November, but now he could be as important as any of them in terms of the way we want to play. So he's just a fierce competitor, and he's actually a much better footballer than I think most people gave him credit for. Everyone knew how fierce he was at the contest and what his will to win contest is like, but he's got more strings to his bow than just effort and intent.
Chris,